Delim Braes, reporting for PE Duty. Fasten your seatbelts and hold on your carrots, comrades. We're going to burn some high-performance health rubber. You're about to enter the Delim Braes Throwdown Zone, accelerating for the simple solutions. We are Avengers of Health. Hide the donuts. You're listening to the Delim Braes Radio Show at DelimBraes.com. Welcome, Braes. I'm Ron Jones, and I've got Jeff Couch back with me today from Falls, Idaho, and Maggie Daniels out there in Michigan getting ready for that nor'easter. You're anticipating the snow after that hard winter, I'm sure, Maggie.
Yeah, right.
It's good exercise, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you really can't have much of a life in northern Michigan if you don't embrace the snow.
Yeah.
And the cold.
That's right. I was just I was out in Pennsylvania with Kevin Rail the other week, and it was quite a bit cooler and more wet than California, that's for sure. But anyway, we're back to do another show in our Expect PE series, and I think we're going to title this one something like Lost Generations, because prepping for the show, talking to you guys, we mentioned that, gosh, we've already lost a couple of generations of kids in this country that really aren't physically educated. And I started scratching my head and asking myself, what happened? Why are we in this situation? You know, what broke down? Because there was a time, and I know people that have taught physical education for over 20, 25 years, you know, and they've got the test results from decades ago. And man, you could just see this decrease in fitness. And I'm just asking myself, you know, what happened? And so that's kind of where we're going to start. I know, Maggie, you've done some research on the President's Fitness Council. Jeff, you sent me a letter on what it means to you to have a physically educated person. And part of this is just laying out a groundwork with the parents and people listening that, you know, physical education, quality physical education, is more than just throwing a ball out. We're really educating these children on not only how to move, but how to interact socially and psychologically and become educated consumers of health and health care.
Right. Well, it's. I think people have known all along how the importance of physical activity. I don't think people. This article that I read that from the United States Sports Academy said that without a doubt, motor skill development is directly related to central nervous system and how people process information received from sensory organs. And so. And it went on to say how important it is that children don't just automatically learn how to stop and go, how to accelerate, how to decelerate. They have to learn through practice and play, bilateral use of their hands, of their legs. They have to learn when it's appropriate to stop, if there's an obstacle in front of them. And children who don't get this stuff from very early on and get it often fail to thrive. They their physical part doesn't know how to enhance their mental stamina and their mental endurance.
You know, I've seen we went to Disneyland recently and you know, other public places where you're going to see a lot of people in one spot in a concentrated amount of time, and it's interesting to watch a younger people navigate, because just the simple task of walking through a crowd sometimes seems awkward to them in terms of how they move, and Jeff and I have talked a little bit about the social awareness you learn in physical education. But just to lay a little more groundwork here, you know, it's really great to have both of you on. I have a background in physical education. I'm a credentialed teacher and corporate wellness coach now. But, you know, Jeff, you've been teaching over 20 years and a strong military background, so you understand the application into fitness and what it does for our country to keep us alive and well. And Maggie, you've been you're a health educator out at North Central Michigan College and a fitness instructor, and you've been teaching and educating people on fitness for 25 plus years, I would guess, right?
Yes, my mother was a phys ed teacher, and my sister just retired after 35 years, I think, of teaching high school phys ed. And as we're sitting here, I think I know a little bit about what happened, because I told you before that Ike Eisenhower was the one who started this push to get kids more physically educated in the schools, because in the early 50s, late 40s, when Eisenhower was president, we were starting to go through that Cold War stuff, mm-hmm. and they were comparing our children to the Russian children. And at that point, our children were probably academically achieving much more than the Russian children, but our children weren't achieving as much physically as the Russian children. And so, but the times have changed now. Now we're thinking that our children and our future generations aren't smart enough to compete in the technological world. So now they've started all the standardized testings to make sure these kids are learning what they're supposed to learn so that the United States and its economy can be an important force on the globe. Does that make sense to you?
Well,
that
Jeff.
Makes sense to me. And I think you can see that. Definitely the swing is it's swung that way. And the emphasis on higher test scores is putting a lot of pressure on the teachers, a lot of pressure on the administrators who are over the teachers within the schools. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. In those standardized test scores for your school district that you represent for your state and the state's overall, how they look and all that kind of stuff. Definitely a lot of pressure there, so a lot of math and science has taken over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, something's got to give in order to get that time in the classroom to get more what they call seat time in the classroom for those students to have those additional academics for math and science.
But
so what goes is your physical education, your music,
right, and art, mm-hmm.
all the elective type classes that a lot of kids thoroughly enjoy and thrive and most mm-hmm. definitely need.
Mm-hmm.
To lay this out, though, we have solid research to show that mm-hmm. test scores are better when kids are physically active, and largely when they're vigorously physically active right before they take the test or they come in and do this scholastic work. And I was talking to Maggie before I called you this morning, Jeff, and I had to just tell her, this seems really stupid. I don't know how else to put it. You look at the research and all the justification, and you look out the window and you see the kids waddling by that are morbidly obese and they can barely move. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, we've got some real serious issues here that just relate to basically being physically fit,
Yeah, and I'll, Ron, there's this system out there that is called a tri-fit system. It was the latest and greatest thing about 10 years ago. It's still being used today in many of the public education, physical education settings. And what it is, it's a computer, and you can take blood pressure. You can do a flexibility test, kind of like a sit and reach. You can do a strength test, which would measure the strength of your upper body by doing a curl. And let's see, what is, it also does body mass index. And it can be synced to the polar heart rate monitors. And if kids are using polar heart rate monitors in your class, if you're fortunate to have them, you can download that information and keep track of the amount of time that a student was in their target heart rate zone during exercise. Mm-hmm. Now, that's all great if you've got the time to do all that kind of stuff. When you only have 45 minutes, take away 5 minutes on the front end, 5 minutes on the very end of let the kids get dressed, getting out there and getting the stuff on, and then having to take it off and download and all that stuff. Logistically, it's a hassle. That equipment has to be used again by another student, and they get this icky feeling about putting on somebody else's sweaty chest strap, and that kind of stuff. But anyway, what I'm getting to is that data can be sent home electronically to parents. And I don't know if you've heard over the last few years, like I said, this has been it's been in the works for about 10 years now. It's kind of a report card to the parents as to how their student is, how they match up to other students their age, based on national information on health standards and that, where a typical 14-year-old boy or girl should be as far as their weight and their height and that sort of stuff, you know, for BMI and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happens? Well, they get that information, and where does the parents go? They go right straight to the district offices across the country. You've seen it on the news. And what do? They complain. They're saying, you know, the teacher's saying my child is overweight.
Mm-hmm.
My child can't do this, you know, and this mm-hmm. and that. Well, simply a report card is kind of a wake-up saying, hey, you know, maybe we need to make some lifestyle changes and so that we don't have the expense of health care later on in life.
You know,
we're saying if you do, saying if you don't. So mm-hmm. I've quit doing that kind of stuff just because of the flack that I've gotten from parents.
We touched on this last time. The parents are enabling a lot of this dysfunction because they're opting their kids out of physical education activities for all kinds of different reasons. But the bottom line is, if you're listening and your kid's overweight, you guys are going to lose, okay? I mean, it's just, you know, if you just look at the physics of it, you know, forget all the political part of it. Just look at math and physics. You know, you put more load in a joint, it's going to wear out faster. And it's going to cost money to get it fixed, or that person's just not going to be moving very well. We've got to embrace this and stop pointing fingers and basically get down to work, you know?
Well, also, true. Go ahead.
Well, you know, and then, you know, you see a young person who is visibly overweight, and, you know, if they're in a PE class, or an activity setting, they're not probably enjoying it very much. Just by looking at them, you don't know if they have a hormonal problem. You just don't know. And anymore, you don't know because of the HIPAA, you know, restrictions and those types of things, you know, to protect people, you know, about their health issues and things of that sort, you
mm-hmm.
know. So, you know, you don't know if you can push the kid, if the kid needs to change their diet, if they're on medication or what have you, you know. And so you're like, you know, you got to sit back and look at it and go, well, do the best you can. And if you push them a little bit outside their comfort zone, then you're going to hear about it the next day. And I'm just talking about, you know, my situations and my experiences being in the public school setting that, oh, you know, you work the kids too hard, you know. What I like to hear though is, you know, keep, you know, you're working them good. That's good. They come home, they say they're tired and this and that. That's good news. That's a good report card for me. But when they say, you know, you're just asking too much of them.
You know,
I don't ask any more of these kids than I did 21 years ago. And I'm not getting the same. I'm not getting the quality out of the kids that I did 21 years ago.
Well, you're not getting the quality children into your classrooms as far as physical fitness is concerned.
And, there you, you know, go. They're not.
Yeah, you're getting a different child. You're getting a whole different metabolic child there. And these overweight families who have overweight children, they're unaware, they're unconcerned. And then watch what happens when diabetes hits their house. You know, watch what happens when their 12-year-old comes home from a doctor's appointment and says, the doctor says, your son has just been diagnosed with adult onset diabetes, and the chances of him dying of kidney failure are very great, and the chances of him dying before he's 38 is very great.
You know,
well, Maggie,
Jeff,
we talked about, you know, this obesity thing, but issues I have also are with kids that are in their zone for BMI and height and weight and everything, and it just typically boils down to being lazy.
You look at a
young lady who looks perfectly healthy, a young boy perfectly healthy, and they won't put forth an effort to even jog a sustained jog around the gym more than not even once sometimes.
I think this whole change has to be driven by the parents at home. You know, we can do our part to educate and create some awareness here in the shows and with other people around the country. But, you know, I know.
Well, what do they say? The parents have the most influence of a child's life within the first 5 years.
Oh yeah, and you know,
wasn't that somewhere? I read that somewhere.
I would agree with that. And even after, and you know, it's a, what I, you know, tell the clients that I'm working with, and when you talk about, you know, what are we going to do about our kids, and or they have overweight kids and they're trying to get some ideas, is that you got to be really assertive, and it's a lot of work because McDonald's is hitting them every day, and Taco Bell and all these other junk food ads, and Coca-Cola, and you know, even Coca-Cola is partnered with American College of Sports Medicine, you know, mm-hmm. and that's a topic for another show we're going to do mm-hmm. eventually, as Maggie knows, but it, you know, mm-hmm. this is ridiculous. So you've got to really be hammering on the kids and educating them on the value of physically, you know, being physically active for life. And we're doing that with the twins all the time, and they're 8. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maggie's comments are interesting, Jeff, because she's also a registered nurse. So we've talked before about the fatty liver disease signs in kids mm-hmm. in Michigan at age like 5, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all over the nation.
Yeah, it's
fatty
not just
liver
Michigan.
In our 5 and 5 through 10-year-olds. And well, there's this other physiological thing now called the metabolic syndrome. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Yep.
It's a clustering of cardiovascular disease risk factors, and studies show that there is, I think, 1 in 3 of our children have metabolic syndrome, and it's going to turn into cardiovascular disease. There's no doubt about it unless they turn it around. And what you just said was putting value. We've got to get the children to value what physical education does for them socially and personally, just like their new iPad does for them socially mm-hmm. and personally.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, if a perfectly fit-looking girl doesn't want to do a, you know, quarter of a mile jog, it's because it brings her nothing. You know, it's she has nothing tangible from that. And because it takes a long time for the brain to develop and for a person to understand what is tangible about being able to, you know, jog a quarter of a mile.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing.
I agree with you. That's all going to start is the grassroots, as we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. It's got to start in kindergarten, and it's got to be emphasized and shown value throughout K-6 and also through junior high. Kids I'm seeing in the junior high school, you know, they had very little physical education, if they had any at all, mm-hmm. and that was only 30 minutes once a week.
Oh.
If they were lucky, and now they don't even have that. The kids coming in through. So
I mean, I honestly, and it's hard for me to be speechless on this topic, as
uh-huh.
you guys know. But I'm just sitting here with my mouth dropping open, thinking that we've lost a couple generations of kids, and we've mm-hmm. gotten to the point where kids are going through school basically from kindergarten through graduating from high school without any quality physical education whatsoever. They might have an elementary teacher kind of trying to fill in, but there are mm-hmm. a lot of places now where the kids aren't getting any quality instruction
mm-hmm.
on mm-hmm. on their physical being,
mm-hmm.
and that just it's a shame.
So, we've identified that the test, you know, the pressure that schools, the administrators are feeling as far as, you know, higher test scores, you know, higher standards on those standardized tests. So that's where all of our emphasis goes. So what do we need to do?
Well, I mean, we've got to bring it to the parents that, hey, the research is out there to show that, you know, your kids are going to do better scholastically when they're physically active. Beyond that, beyond the test scores, we've got serious health care issues, you know, that are directly related to body weight.
Right.
And as a corporate wellness coach, I like to bring the business concerns in here. A lot of our jobs, and people are, you know, crying about, well, we need jobs. Yeah, I agree with that. But the employer can't afford to hire American workers that are sick and diseased and a liability. And so
mm-hmm.
where do those jobs go? They go overseas. This is a real mm-hmm. deep issue. People aren't connecting the dots on this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get the jobs here until you can have people that can make you money.
mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
if you're spending all your profits on health care and knee replacements and metabolic disorders, I mean, it costs
mm-hmm.
5 times the amount of money to treat an employee with diabetes as it does a person without diabetes in the American workforce. We can't afford that.
Oh, and then these diseases are crushing our healthcare system anyway. They're overwhelming the healthcare system.
Yeah.
You know, I have something interesting here. When I was reading about the history of the President's Council on Physical Fitness, this all from 1956 to 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, every 4 years or every 8 years, every time a new president came in, there was always something that the president was doing for federally supported physical fitness program. You remember when Arnold Schwarzenegger came in?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe that was 20 years ago. And then Lynn Swann, that wonderful Chicago Bears, maybe, football player,
mm-hmm.
he was involved in this. And there was always something on the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you this story. One of the school systems about 50 miles from where I am, their middle school PE teacher was told that this fall semester, he was going to be teaching reviewing math and reading and writing instead of teaching PE because he was reviewing the kids, getting them ready for the MEAP test, which is the Michigan Educational Assessment Program. Okay, he's a PE teacher. He's not a math teacher. He's not a reading teacher, but he's not doing PE. So I called the State Department of Education in Michigan, and I found somebody, and I said, who authorizes this?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was really on my side of things, and he said, it's probably the individual school district superintendent. And that made me thinking that maybe it's a state thing. Maybe it's not a national thing. Maybe each state has to be more responsible for its children. And I am going to go to the state superintendent in the near future. I'm going to sit down with him, and I'm going to put all this information in front of him. I'm going to give him all of these facts, and I'm going to say, I want you to justify to me today why you think we are doing our kids a favor by pulling out PE especially with the fact that the MEAP scores aren't improving. You justify to me why you're doing this.
Yeah, you know.
If a lot of people would do this and make these state administrators accountable for their jobs, maybe then we would get some change.
Yeah, and that was another interesting point. I mean, I like everything you're saying, and I applaud that. But also, the scores aren't getting any better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we know that people produce better neurologically in terms of brain power when they're physically active, and it all starts to make sense now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a horrible diet that's toxic. We've got kids that are physically inactive, and they can't perform intellectually, and we're losing our marketplace globally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is really serious, like the survival of America. To me, it's a very patriotic issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the right thing to do to get people in shape and start kicking some butt again. I'm
mm-hmm.
sure Jeff has seen the ramifications of that in the military, because I've mm-hmm. talked to other military people that are saying, we've got problems in the military with fitness for duty.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, a lot of the young recruits that are just entering into the military service, applaud them for their decision to do that. However, along with that, they're showing up unfit. Not
mm-hmm.
able to meet the minimum standards on a physical fitness test. So, you know, more tax dollars are spent on recycling on the recruit, no matter what branch of service they're in, and then they're, you know, having to retrain them in a kind of a fitness company or fitness battalion, and all they do is monitor what they eat, make sure that they eat the right types of foods, the right amount of calories, and do a lot of PT.
Mm-hmm. And then after they change their physical fitness, then they can go on to do more the other
yeah.
soldiering that they're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, but this recycling,
it might be a month to 6 weeks to get them, you know, in condition to move them along through the training cycle.
That recycling is costing us more money too.
That's the point I'm making. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. then I'm sure there are people washing out, which costs us more money and all
right.
that.
Right, and that's true too.
So let's get down and dirty just for a second. We'll cut this down to real basic survival stuff. Now,
sure.
Jeff, you've been injured in Afghanistan. How important is fitness in war?
Well, you know, of course, fitness is you know, if you're healthy, mind, body, and spirit, and if you do get injured, the chances are you're going to recover much quicker than somebody that's not physically and emotionally and spiritually fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your recovery rate is going to be much quicker than if you weren't in shape.
And I'm just thinking, you know, if you're at 10,000 feet in Afghanistan with a pack on that's 100 pounds and your weapons and someone's chasing you, I would think fitness would be pretty important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And that said, hydration, you know, and the importance of drinking the right types of, you know, keeping your body hydrated, you know,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, we know what's required, but yet I don't think very many of us actually get the amount of fluid intake that we need, at least the right type of fluids.
Right.
Well, no, and if kids are, you know, the kids who are eating these high caffeine drinks,
right.
What they're doing is dehydrating their bodies. Yeah,
yeah,
they're dehydrating.
Sugar, you know,
yep,
absolutely.
Yep, yeah, and then they get fatigued, and then they think that, I'm so tired, and most of the time it's probably because they're thirsty, and so what they do is they go for the food or another one of these high caffeine drinks.
So, exactly. So when they start running, they don't even get a quarter mile, and they quit. You know,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
like, oh, I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
They don't have the right energy input.
Right.
To sustain a short little jog. You know.
So if we kind of just take all our arms around all this and pull it together, I mean, I've got a couple of phone books of information over here right next to me, you know, showing how valuable physical education is. Somebody has spent years writing all this up in California, and every single one of our states has something similar, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
all the justifications and all the benefits from, you know, neurological to biomechanical and social and psychological, blah, 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 and yet we're doing very little of it. We have the research to show that, you know, physical activity enhances intellectual performance. So where do we go now? I mean, we've got to get people to understand that the evidence is there, and we need to get the kids moving in real simple ways. I'm struggling to know, like, what's the next move here for people across the country, because the research is there. I don't want to hear that, you know, there are no benefits to it or it's not worth
mm-hmm.
the time. And we don't need any more studies. We
mm-hmm.
got plenty of studies, you know.
Well, why can't we, you know, why can't we start scolding the school systems whose children are the least fit? You know, we're scolding school systems when their kids can't get the best testing, but that obviously isn't working. Why don't we turn it around and say, okay, we're going to test your kids physically, and if 75% of your children can't pass these physical fitness tests, then you're going to get penalized somehow.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see a very low scholastic performing school take a radically different approach and say, you know what, we're looking at all this research. We're going to try something different. We're going to get our kids really physically fit
mm-hmm.
and then see what happens scholastically. We're going to bring in better food. You know, we're going to get them physically fit. We've got PE teachers here that are raring to go, and we've got health educators that are raring to go. We've got people in the community that will donate their time, and let's see what happens. Because I'd be willing to bet my money that good things would happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, Ron, I think that's happened before. You know, it's a pretty radical approach, but I believe there was a school that actually did do that, and they started off the day with physical fitness. And, you know, the military is very good at that. They start off the day with, you know, physical fitness for a good hour to 2 hours, typically,
mm-hmm.
Before you go to breakfast.
That's right.
And, you know, I've experienced that for 30 years, and I think, there's something to be said there. You know, you're pretty, you know, I think it wakes you up, makes you more mentally alert,
mm-hmm.
and makes you, you know, more sharp for the day.
And there's
everybody that's done it would believe you.
There's research out there to show that even 10 minutes of exercise outside can change mood, enhance
mm-hmm.
mood.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that in 5 minutes of doing dynamic warm-ups with my corporate clients, where they've actually told me, like, since we started doing this warm-up you taught us, people are in a better mood at the morning meetings.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes of
mm-hmm.
body weight movement. 5 minutes change their mood.
It sends the blood sugar up, and it's a serotonin booster. You know, it's the mood. neurotransmitter booster, and then you can think better, and you can memorize better. It's a no-brainer. Well, I think we should get people to go first of all to their individual school superintendents and say, look what's happening here, and get the superintendent squirming in their chairs and say, look at this information. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you heeding this information? You are producing poorly fit children, and if that doesn't work, go to the state superintendent level.
And so
I don't think doing anything federally is going to help, because I think the federal government has done all it can, and it's given the power to the states to do what they want to do. So we have to probably go school system by school system.
I like your approach, Maggie, and I think the federal government is probably more of the problem than the solution, at least on this issue for sure. And yes. I've been invited by two different administrators in California to come and talk to them and visit the school based on my interest in this topic and doing these shows with you guys.
Uh-huh.
So there are people in the districts that are actually wanting to talk about this and figure it out. And we don't need, trillions of dollars to get kids physically active. I mean, there's not a lot of money out there, but we know there are a lot of good things you can do with very simple pieces of equipment or body weight. And then a couple other things need to take place. We need the parents to support the kids doing it. Because if the kids are lazy, sometimes the parents got to kick their butt a little bit and back the teachers. And we also need teachers in the classroom or in the physical education settings that are not just going to throw the ball out. They're dedicated professionals like Jeff and like you, Maggie, at the college level. They're willing to go all out and do whatever it takes to get people physically educated.
Uh-huh.
And so there needs to be a little shift, too, in terms of some of the old school PE teachers transitioning out.
Well,
Ron, I just wanted to say, first of all, Maggie Lynn Swan, he was with Pittsburgh as a wide receiver.
Okay,
oh,
we better correct
you.
That.
Oh, Pittsburgh, okay, thank
right.
you.
Got
okay.
The got the Steelers fans mad at us.
Right.
Anyway, Michelle Obama, she is, she's been an advocate for physical activity and with the Just Move and, teaming up with the 60 Minutes, and you've seen the commercials with the NFL
mm-hmm.
players.
Mm-hmm. That's good, too.
That's just kind of, I don't know if that's sweeping where that's actually at, but they're talking physical activity, and we're talking physical education here. And, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw, I had some notes sitting on my desk here, and I had a student come in this morning, and he read my notes, and the PA versus PE. So the only difference I see is the A and the E on my notes. But, physical activity, which is what Michelle Obama is doing, is just moving is okay. But, what do they learn?
Mm-hmm.
In physical education, they get specific feedback.
Right.
And kids are expected feedback, constructive criticism as to what it is they're doing or what it is they're not doing, little bits and pieces of feedback to help them improve their overall mechanics, and it's not just moving. We go from, in elementary, hopefully gross motor skills to finer motor skills as they move on up the grade level,
mm-hmm.
And they get into junior high in that, open versus closed type activities, catching a big ball to a smaller ball, a beach ball to a volleyball, basketball, a little heavier,
mm-hmm.
a little more dense, softball,
mm-hmm.
tennis ball, down to a ping pong ball. So we're taking gross motor skill of the throwing and the catching of an implement and down to, to a higher level, to a finer motor skill,
mm-hmm.
if you will. Like to a ping pong ball.
That's
the dexterity in that, and the hand and eye coordination, and all that is part of physical education. It's not just physical activity.
I
could go on with other examples, but I just want to throw that in there.
No, those are excellent points. So, the first step, of course, to keep it simple, is just to move. But beyond that, people need to keep moving better, and that's where physical education comes in. My daughter teaches middle school social studies, and she was telling me that she's got kids in her classroom that struggle to hold a pencil, and they have to write in these huge letters, like in kindergarten or first grade, because they don't have the dexterity in their hands to write, and they don't even know how to write cursive anymore, which is another issue. But I see this with corporate a little bit, like there are people open to like getting coached on technique and improving, but we've kind of got this mindset, well, we're just going to go in and move around and not really get any better and just maybe move poorly. So I think that's a really interesting point you made, Jeff. Like there's a progression here as they go through the ages to, yeah, we're going to have a beach ball and then we're going to end up playing ping pong fast at the end or something, you know. And if we're not getting that, then we're sending these kids out into the workforce. Now they're coming to me and they're supposed to go to a factory or an industrial setting or even an office setting and navigate around decade after decade and keeping the injuries down, but yet the fundamental problems or root causes why they're getting hurt go back to movement. They're not moving well. That's why they're getting hurt, right? And all that costs money. And it ends up costing us jobs because of the healthcare costs. Well, I wrote down...
Look at all the research and the money spent to improve office chairs and things of that sort for ergonomics, you know, and you know, and you've heard all that. Where if you just sat on one of those big balls and tensed your muscles and sat in one of those, and a lot of people choose to do that, but not very many because it's work.
You know
what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. And then they actually have some studies to show
the exercise balls and that.
Yeah, they burn more calories. When you're even though you're still seated, there are a lot of people going to standing workstations now too. Some of them are walking workstations, but just standing is less compressive force in your back. So I know, you know, so much of my job now in corporate wellness deals with just musculoskeletal injuries and pain management, and so much of that is being caused just from not moving. You know,
right?
So we're seeing it at the adult level. We're seeing it at the youth level. We got a couple generations that have flowed through, and they're basically not very physically educated, and healthcare costs soaring, and the first step
Ron,
is to move. But
Mike, the kid, you know, typically, you know, the lifespan, you know, it's on a spectrum, and you know, the older you get, the less mobile you get. You end up in perhaps a assisted living home or a nursing home, God forbid, you know. But the junior high school age kids, I mean, they're sedentary. And that's how you become when you get older, supposedly.
Right.
And the kids are already exhibiting that behavior right now, and they're far from 70 years old and 80 years old.
Yeah, I think this is going to be just a panacea of issues in the next 10 to 20 years. I mean, if you look at the predictions and what it's going to cost us, I really don't know if we'll ever get out of this. All I know is I'm a fighter, and I've got to keep swinging. And how I do that is try to get people moving, you know, and that's all we can do. And I think I like Maggie's approach. I'm doing a little bit of that out here. You know, I've got invited through some emails to come and visit the school. So that'll be my action item here in the next few weeks, is to get in with those administrators and get behind the scenes and see, like, you know, what kind of pressure they're under and what are the parents saying. I'm really interested in the parents. I mean, are they ready to step up for physical education and health? I'm not sure if we're there yet, but I got a pretty good sampling of people that were pretty upset about not having good quality PE in their schools anymore.
Well, you know, our nation is accommodating this lost two generations by enlarging chairs. They're making bigger chairs. They're making bigger automobiles. You know, it's bigger so that these bigger people can fit.
Yeah, the latest thing. The latest thing of the people gaining weight on purpose to qualify for gastric bypass.
Oh my God!
Because it was on the national news, and I've heard that before, but it actually made the national news last night. They're intentionally gaining weight because the federal government changed the regulations on who can qualify for that, right? And they made it easier for people to do it. And so now they can just bump up their weight a little bit and jump right over the threshold and then get the whole thing
paid for.
Oh, that's great, isn't it? And guess who's paying for that, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Uh huh.
So that's the direction we're moving, and it's the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that in November, on November 17th and 18th, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. at the American College of Sports Medicine Physical Activity, Cognitive Function, and Academic Achievement Conference. And one of their objectives is to provide guidance for public policy change. So whatever I learn, you know, I'm going to throw it out your way.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I'm pretty excited about you going to that because it's got all the latest research on brain and fitness.
Right,
you know?
I'm hoping to get all the, you know, even more weapons.
Right, right. We're gonna keep talking about this and get into the schools and get into the parents and some of the homes. And I'd like it to be a national topic. I mean, there are so many issues today, and I understand that people are like, we don't want to hear about another problem. But if you don't have your health, what do you have? So we've got to start with health, and then we can worry about everything else. But until we're healthy and we can function, all this other stuff doesn't really matter to me too much, you know? I think first things first, and that's health. And then we can worry about everything else.
Yep.
You know, Ron, it took a long time to get, education in the schools and, you know, what was going to be appropriate at what level as far as talking about alcohol and, tobacco and marijuana and all the other types of drugs that are out there on the street. That has taken a long time. And also talking about sex ed, you know, and that's For a lot of places, that's very sensitive topic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what could be more sensitive than talking about, you know, physical education, you know, and the importance of it and the value of it, as you stated earlier, that we got to push to get that out there, and hopefully we'll see a change before the year 2020. Like I said, hindsight's 2020, and that's only 9 years from now, and look back, and we're going to have already lost several generations.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, you know, and that's when our health care is going to, you know, spike and go, man, we got to start doing something earlier to get, you know, so we don't have this problem, but it's going to be too late.
I'm worried if we're going to make it to 2020.
2020, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you know, at the rate we're going, I mean, that's, it was predicted to me in Washington, D.C. at a health care reform conference with the U.S. state controller that spoke in December 2007, he point blank told everyone there and the media cameras rolling that unless the next president, whoever it was, whatever party they were from, got a handle on the health care, that we were going to be bankrupt in 10 years. And that was in 2007 before the economy really tanked. So we've already chewed up a few years of that. And he had all the statistics. He said, I'm going to tell you what the politicians won't. We are dead broke. We don't have the money to pay for this. And the healthcare system is so bad, it's beyond reform. It needs to be replaced. That's basically what he said. He said it's too screwed up.
Yeah, and then look at what our wonderful people in Washington do. They bicker back and forth at each other. They spend more time bickering about what's wrong. You know, Obama's tried to do something. Hey, who knows what's the right thing to do? But, we don't need these people spending their time bickering back and forth and, you know, not progressing anywhere.
You know, if we went up there one day and we had them do some jump squats and burpees, they could probably think better and figure it out. Maybe that's what we need to do. We just need to go right to the Capitol steps with our physical fitness outfits on and do a Jack-O-Lane thing.
Let's give them a test. See how many can come out of it alive.
My God.
I know, isn't that something?
It's absurd. Well, we're gonna wrap the show up. What I'm gonna do is get into a couple schools, talk to administrators. Maggie, you're gonna hit that brain and activity research conference and get all the latest stuff. Jeff, you keep working on your end.
Plugging along.
And we've got some other people willing to talk to us on this topic as well. I'm thinking about maybe making up a bumper sticker that says "Expect PE." And some kind of thing we can distribute, because I think it's a good topic to raise, you know. And our initial title for Expect PE comes out of our feeling is, as Lean Berets, that we don't believe a lot of people have an expectation for quality mm-hmm. physical education anymore. And we want to make mm-hmm. sure that they're educated enough to know that, hey, we need to expect this, not passively blow it off, but we expect our children to have a quality physical education program because it's fundamental to them being good citizens and productive American mm-hmm. workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how we're going to roll.
I'll put one on my car.
Yeah. Maybe some shirts, too.
Yeah.
You got anything else to add, Jeff or Maggie?
Well, I was just going to tell all the listeners out there that I'm working really hard to get Ron out here to Northern Michigan in April. We have a children's obesity conference, and it's sponsored by the Child Abuse Council, because there are people now who are feeling that if there is a home that has severely obese children, these children should be taken from the home, actually. It's a form of abuse. And I'm on a child obesity task force, and we're trying to get Ron out here to start a little satellite Green Beret.
Yeah, you know what? That's great, and I'd like to see some of our other Lean Berets show up for that. And there's going to be, you know, if this all comes together, Jeff, we're going to have Saturday we'll have access to a lot of kids with all Maggie's equipment, and we can actually do some things where we show the parents how to get
That's
kids
great.
Physically active in an appropriate way without hurting them and having some fun. And it doesn't have to be
right.
just running laps. I mean, there's so many other things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on that note, I've had people call me out of the blue from different parts of the country over the last few years, you guys. And what the call was about, or the calls, is that they were a parent from a divorced relationship, and they were into the health thing. And the other parent, when the child went over there, they were feeding in this horrible food to the point where they were turning them into Child Protective Services. And what would happen was CPS would go out, and based on their criteria, they weren't being abused. But the parent was telling me, hey, they're killing my kid, and I can't do anything about it legally. And out of desperation, you know, they got on the internet and saw that I had done a lot with child obesity, and they called me for some ideas or for help. And, you know, I know they've done a little bit more with this in Europe legally, but it's just very sad. I mean, it's gotten to the point where, you know, I just can't fathom an adult feeding their kids this kind of food when they're morbidly obese and not connecting the dots, because I truly believe it is child abuse. And I got on the Neil Cavuto show a few years ago for that statement. You know, it got some national press. That was before people were really saying that. It was a little bit bold at the time. And now you're hearing a lot of people say that. I mean, they're, you know, if I was giving my child some kind of medication that was going to develop them a disease, I'd go to jail, right?
Yes.
But I can kill them with food, and that's okay. So
yeah.
It's just what's socially acceptable in this country. But, you know, I think it needs a change, and it's basically taking us all down. So it's all our business at this point.
Hey, we might even have children. We might even have adult
like
children.
Save them all.
Yeah. We might even have adult children. Go ahead.
Go, Jeff.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just saying, you know, it's our nature to want to try to save them all, but, you know, we're not going to be able to save everyone.
No.
Uh-huh.
You know, but we can sure try.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Maggie?
Try. I was going to say, you know, it might even come to the fact, or to the point where adult children are suing their parents.
I think parents are going to be scorned by their kids as we move forward in the next 10 to 20 years. That's actually a thought that I've had. If I became an adult and realized that my issues were basically preventable, and my parents didn't have the foresight and the discipline to make that happen and do the right thing, I would be very angry about it. And I think we're going to see that, if not already, you know, and it's sad, but we can at least try, and that's what we're going to do. So we'll keep working on it, and thanks for listening, and we'll check you guys soon on another Expect PE show with the Lean Berets. You've been listening to Lean Berets Radio Show at theleanberets.com. Music today provided by the Psycho DeVilles. Until next time, keep your foot in the accelerator for health, and rock on, and keep your kids physically active.